Could we look at Psalm 102, please? Psalm 102. Good to see everybody that's come tonight. What I want to speak on for a few minutes is the subject of change. And I was thinking, it's been about 26 years since I stepped into this building. Many weren't here then. I remember Alex Dryborough and Paul Kember were having gospel meetings at the time. I must confess that's not the main reason I was here. There was a certain young woman that I was interested in. She became my wife, thankfully. But 26 years, a lot of changes. A lot of changes. How do we handle change? How do you handle change? What does God say about change? Psalm 102, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me, and the day when I call, answer me speedily. Verse 25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Now it's those last four words in verse 26. They shall be changed. And of course this is speaking about the heavens and earth. The universe as we know it will one day be changed, will be brought down. Now in the New Testament, one more reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed. Hard to imagine that the universe is going to change. They shall be changed. The heavens and the earth, it's all going to come down. We live in a world where change seems to be the only constant. I don't have to tell you about the economic changes, not only nationally, but globally. It affects all of us. There's technological change, so rapid, hard to keep up with it. There's a moral change. Our moral compass has shifted. So, change on just about every front. How good then to know that in this world where there's so much change, and when eventually it'll all be changed, to know that thou art the same. We read in Psalm 102. Thou art the same. The one who is the rock of ages that many of us have come to know tonight. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, truths like this may not mean too much unless you're in a storm, unless there's great upheaval in your life. And I tell you how good to have your feet on a rock, how good to have your soul on a rock. You know, that's one of the things that brought me to the Lord Jesus, why I was saved. There was change all around me. I was looking for something I couldn't have put it in these words, but rest my soul on. And no matter what I tried, it wasn't stable. It wasn't lasting until I came to the Word of God, until the Lord Jesus found me, and I had a link with Him, the one who was the rock of ages. Thou art the same. You know, as our times change, maybe more and more we'll see our need of our relationship with Him. He's our anchor. Nothing else will do it. And we know it's not about church attendance and religion and everything. A relationship with the one who never changes. What peace this brings in a world of change. But you know, all change isn't bad. All change isn't bad. We read in 1 Corinthians 15 that one day we're going to be changed. We shall be changed. And I don't know about you, but I can hardly wait. Be changed. The struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, it'll be over. We'll finally be what God wants us to be. But it's not so much future change that I'm concerned about tonight. Whether it's what's going to happen to the universe or what's going to happen to God's people at the rapture. Brother, sister, God wants to change you and me now. I mean, not totally. We're not going to be perfect until that day when we will be changed that we were reading about here. But does he not want to change us little by little into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, he didn't just save us. Our sins are forgiven. There'll be no more punishment for sins. And that's the end of it. Are you listening? He wants to change us. He wants to change you. He wants to change me. And I'll tell you, I'm glad. I'm glad that he didn't leave us to ourselves when it came to salvation. He doesn't leave us to ourselves when it comes to this change, becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe this is one thing God wants to accomplish at this conference here in Jackson this year. Change. Change you. Change me. Now the question isn't, does God want to change us? Are we willing to be changed? You know, I confess that I've been to conferences, the ministry has been good, and I've left, and I'm not sure there's been one iota of change. You know, if we really love the Lord Jesus, do we not want to let him change us? Even at this conference? Or have we got our blinders on, our neck set, stiff-like? And, you know, I'm not doing too bad. I'm in assembly fellowship. I've been saved for a number of years. You know, this is the way it's going to be. What does God say in his word about this kind of change that he wants to bring about? Look with me in Romans chapter 12, a very familiar verse. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, at the beginning, the Lord says, be not conformed to this world. We know about this. Don't let the world put us into its mold. We got that, I think most of us. But notice this next statement. But be ye transformed. Now, that word is translated, we're going to look at it in a minute, in 2 Corinthians, changed. You could put it, but be ye changed by the renewing of your mind. God says, be changed. Now, he doesn't say change yourselves. I'm glad of that. But this is what he wants. He wants us to be changed by the renewing of our mind. Anybody here whose thinking, whose thoughts don't need to be adjusted? Can he do it at a conference like this? Sure he can. If we want to be changed. If we want to be changed. If we want to let him do it. If we want to let him do it. So he says, be changed by the renewing of your mind. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now here it's the same word that's translated transformed in Romans 12. By the way, you likely know it's the same word that's translated in Matthew 17, transfigured. It's what happened when the Lord was on the mount. He was changed. And the Lord wants you and me to be changed in our thinking. And here, I believe it's with regard to character. How does it happen? Well, the change in Romans 12 was by the renewing of our mind. Here it's by beholding the glory of the Lord. And you know, I found it interesting, some of our brethren were praying about this at the beginning of the meeting. Some words to the effect that they hope that we see the Lord Jesus at this conference. You know, we can see Him as we read His Word. There's nobody like Him. His excellencies, His glories. And as we're occupied with Him, confronted with Him, it has an effect upon us. It has an effect upon us. Changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is what the Spirit of God wants to do, I believe, even at this conference. He wants to change us. Isn't that tremendous? I'm so glad that He hasn't left us just to stumble around, even as believers, with our sins forgiven, and yet unable to effect change ourselves. But there's one more thing I want to look at in Isaiah chapter 40. In the Old Testament now, in Isaiah chapter 40, not so much now change as far as our thinking, or even as far as our character, but in verse 31 of Isaiah 40, we read about strength being changed. Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Now, you say, where is change here? Well, that word renew. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Is often translated change. Now, anybody here that doesn't need their strength changed? And I'm thinking so mainly of spiritual strength. Brethren, God is for us. God is for us. I know we fail Him. Abysmally. We fail Him. But He's made provision for all our sin and uncleanness in the death of His Son and the blood that He shed on the cross. And it's tremendous that when we do fail, we can confess it to Him and we can go on with God, walking with God in this world that knows Him not. And He wants to change us. He wants to give us the spiritual strength we need to serve Him, to do His will. And here, He says it's waiting upon the Lord. What's that mean? They that wait upon the Lord shall change their strength. I wondered what that means, wait on the Lord. But to me, what makes sense is this. It means to wait or look for with eager expectation. It isn't just some, you know, waiting for the, you know, something to fall out of the sky. But it's looking to the Lord expectantly, trusting Him that He's going to do what we can't do, what nobody else can. Do we wait on the Lord like that? Do you wait on the Lord like that? In your life? In your circumstances? He is a great God. He loves to be trusted. They that wait upon the Lord shall change their strength. Thank God. Thank God. There's strength. There's a divine strength for God's people here in this world. But let me just touch on one more thing before I close. What about change as far as assemblies are concerned? Change as far as our personal lives are concerned. Is that bad? You know, some people might say, you know, things are at low ebb here. I mean, we don't do things like we did 50 years ago. And, you know, we should. Should we? You know, culture changes. God's principles don't change. And brother, sister, the challenge is to know the difference. And may God raise up wise men who have understanding at the times to lead God's people. I mean, you say, what are you talking about? Okay, I mean, I heard many years ago, I think from a credible source, somebody told me there was an assembly years ago that had a white shirt policy. I guess, you know, you had to wear a white shirt. I don't think Dan Shutt was in that assembly, but... I mean, you know, 50 years ago, let's go 100 years ago, people didn't dress the same as we do today. They didn't talk the same. Culture changes. Somebody has said years ago that the assembly, it's not an organization, it's an organism. Well, if that's true, an organism is something that's living. Brethren, we have to be able to flex, don't we? But to know where to flex. I mean, there's some things we can't flex on. God's principles. For example, the preaching of the gospel. Salvation by grace through faith. Can't change. Now, the approach we take to it, to reach people may be different, but the message of the gospel can't change. Just pulling another one out of the air. The silence of sisters when the assembly meets together. Can't change. Shirt color? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter. So we have a challenge. Change in us. Change in the assemblies. Because I will say this, if we take a rigid attitude and there's no change at all, we're going to end up like some groups that have a culture that's frozen in time. And it's no wonder that young people are going to wander off. However, the other extreme is, if we do everything that's coming down the pipe as far as the world is concerned, we're going to be just like the world with no principle. And that's not right either. Change. God wants to change us. May the Lord help us, brother, sister, to be willing to be changed.